David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemian. And today I'm very excited because we have a very special guest today on our show. His name is Victor Katrina, and he is a coach, and he is actually a YouTube coach, and he works in the realms of the business industry. And he's here today to tell you a little about his story and how through his successes and failures, he was able to come up with a motto and a way of doing things that really got him to where he is today, a very high level of success. And his goal is to help others who are struggling. Maybe they don't know what the next direction is, or you might be plateaued, or you really want to elevate to the next level, but you just don't know how to do it because you know you're missing things and you just don't know what they are. Well, he's here today, Victor, and he's going to show you how to do that. And he has a great story to tell. So, Victor, I am so excited to have you on the show today. I'm honored that you're on our show, and I'm really looking forward to hearing about this, and especially about YouTube, because YouTube is a great place to really learn from, and there are a lot of opportunities to make money. A lot of people want to make money. They just don't know how, or they don't know the correct way to do it. So, you know, tell us a little about yourself and your story on how you got to, you know, having a passion for this.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Stacey. And likewise, just as excited to be here and, you know, share more about my story. You're right. There's a massive opportunity ahead of us. And currently social media is, you know, taking over completely. And it's just such a fascinating way to leverage to either set yourself free or set yourself up financially. So yeah, that's kind of what the discussion will be about today. But yeah, just a little bit about myself. I'm 29, entrepreneur living in Cape Town, South Africa. We can talk about that later, how I ended up here. But yeah, currently running a coaching program and running YouTube automation as my main business and kind of hustle that's bringing in a lot of the income. And so yeah, a bit of a story that kind of led up to here, but that's my current state. Do you want to maybe start with that now, or should we kind of get into it in a different way?
I'd love to start with it now. Yeah, definitely. Okay. How did you get into YouTube, and how did that really bring you to where you are at this point?
Yeah, so without going too long-winded, I mean, my entire journey of entrepreneurship really started like when I was 13 years old, and that's actually when my YouTube journey started. So I started my YouTube channel at 13. I guess I was doing the same stuff I'm doing now, like faceless, but a little bit different, just faceless because I was too shy to show my face. So I was just behind the screen recording. And yeah, it actually became pretty successful, of course, relative to a 13, 14-year-old. I was able to buy a custom computer from the money that I was making. So that was kind of my first introduction into entrepreneurship and YouTube itself. And that kind of just moved on to the next thing. It scaled up, of course. Mm-hmm. By the time I believe I was 17 years old, I actually lost that channel, unfortunately. It got terminated. I don't know what I was doing, something wrong, obviously, and they shut down the channel. And that was a little bit disheartening because YouTube was a big part of my identity at the time, of course. So that was, you know, it was what it was, but we moved on. From there, of course, I just attempted, you know, more business models. I really didn't want to give up on that dream of working for myself. I've never really been a good employee, to be honest. I've always been really good at working for myself and also just kind of more of a natural born leader. So I just wanted to always lean into my skill sets. But yeah, a lot of different failed attempts, let's just say that. And that's kind of the emphasis of a lot of my journey, was that I tried and failed a lot of different things, which is kind of what led me up to where I am now, and also built up a ton of the resilience, I guess, that I have at this point. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I really want to share as well, because a lot of people aren't able to see the kind of success that they want just because they aren't able to see things through or even push past pains and disappointments. Yeah. That's a huge, huge thing that kind of prevents people from seeing success. So yeah, I wanted to kind of speak as that person who went through, I've failed like seven different businesses before, you know, one actually did something, and then the next and the next. And, you know, truthfully, everything kind of is a building block to the next.
Right.
A lot of people kind of have this misconception that these things failed and they sucked and this thing worked. But really, I feel like everything is a building block, like I mentioned. It's just you're building up the bricks and
Yes.
building up context and perspective and knowledge, which then leads to that one thing that finally clicks, but it's with, everything that you built before. So that's kind of what my, a lot of my journey did really truly consist of. And it was more or less a situation where I, tried and tried and tried to keep failing. And in between, I did have one accident that kind of changed the trajectory for me, because in between me trying to be an entrepreneur, I wasn't the best kind of, I'd say the best kid. I was hanging around the wrong people, and I was, abusing certain things I shouldn't have been abusing. So I
Yeah.
wasn't really trekking down the right path in that sense. I still had the main North Star, but I just wasn't aligned. So what happened was I actually got carbon monoxide poisoning, and I believe that was at the
Wow.
age of 18. Yeah, so 18, really bad situation. I was like 20 hours in a car, not intentionally, by the way. And so that was a huge thing. I got sent out. I got flown out to a hospital, a private hospital. It was hyperbaric oxygen chamber treatment to pump out the carbon monoxide, get me back into a working state. But it kind of screwed me up for a while,
Yeah.
naturally.
Yeah.
So I had to really just, rethink my decisions, rethink my life, and I was given a second chance. So at that point, I shifted the whole direction of, the bad route, cut literally everything and everyone off, and then really just hyper focused on that dream again of being an entrepreneur, which was great. And so that was amazing in terms of, redirecting me. From there, I mean, I still tried more business models. They all still fail, like everything. And I really tried everything wholeheartedly, put money into it, time, nothing was clicking. But again, I kept going. So my parents were, kind of fed up with nothing working, and they said, let's just try school and see what happens. So I went back to school, or went to school, and got a criminal justice degree. Because I didn't want to be there, I made her put me into a program that was accelerated so I could just get it over with as soon as possible. So I did it in half the time, which is already a challenge on top of other challenges, which were I was working a part-time job. I was training for a bodybuilding show and in a very, very toxic relationship at the time. So I was juggling a lot of different things. But again, the aspiration is to just get it over with and move on back to my entrepreneurship, which I did. So I finished my degree, got my stuff, and I said, okay, thank you, and you're welcome. Here's the certificate. I have to go back to my dream, right? And that's kind of what happened. So basically, from there, I got back into business. I started then a marketing agency, and that was my first breakthrough. So I reached my first like 30K a month. Things were finally on the upswing, and I was able to finally see the fruits of my labor, which is fantastic. But the other thing that happened was, although I was making, a fair amount of money per month with, great margins and everything, my life sucked. So everything like about the business was actually destroying my life again. It was kind of like the, golden shackles thing. And like, it was, yeah, I was making a bunch of money, but I had no time for myself. My relationships were suffering. My health was suffering. I was at the beck and calling of all my clients. It was just a lot of uneasiness in the business at all times, ups and downs. And so, yeah, the money was great, but everything else was awful. And then from there, basically, COVID came and did what it does best and did best, and it basically destroyed everything, which again inadvertently actually ended up being a great thing. And the reason why I destroyed my company was because I only had local clients, and so COVID came, shut down all the businesses. I was the first to go, of course. So literally overnight, 95% of my income disappeared. So not so great at the moment, but again, everything happens for a reason. I knew that there would be something. Some reason for this, and there was two reasons. Number one, again, divine knew that I was not happy, and divine intervened, and so that's one thing that I know was a really good thing. And then in the same month where I lost all those clients, I got an email from YouTube saying that they recovered my account from years ago when it got terminated. So that dream of being a YouTuber that was taken away randomly came back. So again, divine intervention. I was like, okay, I'll listen. This has to be the direction. And that was kind of it. So from there, I literally just took that very, very seriously, obviously. Started up the journey. Wasn't easy because YouTube is not the easiest thing to crack. It took me about a year to actually figure it out, and like almost like $30,000 in like content and channels and trying all this stuff. But yeah, one viral video to the next, onto the next, and then channels started, more channels, and everything started scaling. And then I guess really what happened was everyone started seeing the success, friends and family. And then of course everybody wanted to learn the same business model, naturally. So then I started teaching people one-on-one, and more people wanted to know about it. And I figured, okay, to be efficient with this, I might as well just create some videos and teach there so they could just watch the videos. They're like public resources, call it. And then, yeah, put those videos on YouTube. They blew up. So they blew up on YouTube, and then there was just more demand, which then really led me to feel like, okay, there's a bit of a calling here. I'm not able to just, I'm not only able to just make money myself, but really able to impact a lot of other people. Because it wasn't like I was just showing these people and they were doing nothing with it. They were applying it and making a lot of money. And they were doing way less time than I was. It took me a whole year and a lot of money that other people can't just, cough up to figure out. I was lucky I had, my savings and whatnot from the business. So yeah, that was really interesting that I kind of, again, one thing led to another, and then yeah, by the age of like 27, I basically finally had those channels in place. I launched a coaching program, which is really, really nice. That was a year I was able to retire my mom. A lot of things changed. I even left Canada. So I was living in Canada for most of my life. I couldn't deal with, we mentioned, the weather and the politics. They drove me out. The West is a place.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
And yeah, so then I started traveling. I lived in Spain and Europe, and then now I just found myself in South Africa. I've been living here for about a year. I just hit a year actually. Met my girlfriend and soon to be wife here. So we, basically fell in love, and now we're living together, traveling. And then yeah, basically since then, I've just been growing the coaching company. We have like over 500 students. An emphasis on the one thing that matters more than the students and everything is the impact, like the results. Like I literally have some students that are doing $20,000 to $30,000 a month with their channels, working from home, basically completely passive. Money that they could have never imagined having, and it's a very rewarding feeling to know that, again, that one decision that I made to learn that skill, to invest all my savings, not knowing, what the outcome is going to be, to then now fast forwarding and having impact on myself, people around me. So yeah, that's kind of the synopsis. I don't know if I went too deep, but I wanted to kind of give it a decent idea of how I got here. So yeah.
That's awesome. I think so many people, they try to find, a way. They have a purpose. They have something that really drives them, but they keep trying and they keep trying and they don't get anywhere. And they have, there's so many also entrepreneurs, now that are so successful, but they talk about their successes and their many failures, but they didn't give up. And you talked about resilience. What caused you to have that resilience? But what was your main, fire that really ignited you to say, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep going. Because there are so many people after one or two tries, they're like, ah, I can't do this any longer. It's not working. It's not for me. It's not gonna, there's no way I could succeed. What made you, become so, resilient that you said, no, I'm gonna get up. Every time I got knocked back down two steps, you got up and you moved forward to, three steps, and you kept doing it and doing it and doing it till you actually start really flying forward.
Yeah, no, great question. And unfortunately, the example you brought up with people, getting knocked down twice and just calling it quits is so common, and that's a huge issue and a huge bad reality. But yeah, to answer your question, I guess it's a two-part. The first one, I already told you, I'm a horrible employee. I had to figure it out. I had no choice. I don't think I've ever kept a job for longer than like 6 months. I don't really do well with authority, and authority not in the sense that, like, of course I respect my elders and everything, but I can't fathom the idea of, dedicating my life to build someone else's dream and not living to my fullest potential. Those are two of my biggest fears. So it did not make sense for me. It never aligned with me to work for someone else. And I did my jobs. I did my part to just make some money and pay bills, et cetera. But again, I couldn't hold on to the job. So I always had to do some sort of hustle, even in high school, like selling headphones and doing like just other things to make money. So that's part one. And then part two, I guess really just my parents came from, I was born in Romania, but I came when I was two, very, very young. So I didn't have to experience that struggle per se, but we still came here with literally nothing. So my parents are both military background, like 17 years in the military, both of them. So I also had a very interesting upbringing in that regard. So nothing
Yeah.
else traditional for me, as you can imagine. But yeah, they instilled obviously a lot of discipline. That perfectionism mindset was
Yes.
huge. You know, that's it's a blessing and a curse. You have to learn to use it as a blessing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it will be more of a curse. And so I
Right.
guess it was more or less just the surroundings and the environment that I was raised in that obviously impacted me to the point where I was able to build that kind of mindset. And I guess really just I always felt like I was called for something. I gave you the one example with me almost dying from the carbon monoxide. That was like one of many different instances that I kind of escaped death.
Yeah.
And so every single time I did, it kind of just reconvinced me that okay, like I'm not meant to go. I'm not meant
Yes.
to I'm meant to be here. And because I'm meant to be here, there has to be a higher calling. And that higher
Right.
calling does not consist of me laying down my guard and just and giving in and not living to my highest potential. So that obviously is requiring a lot of work, me putting myself out there, risking everything, falling, you know, hurting myself and getting back up. And
Right.
so it was just a combination of everything that kind of kept me on my feet, kept me motivated. I think that was the answer, yeah.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to, monetizing on YouTube, so many people get frustrated. They get frustrated because maybe they don't have the retention hours, or they don't have enough of followers. And one of the big things a lot of times is figuring out who your audience is. And a lot of people don't know how to figure it out. Some people don't even look at the metrics. Some people, are trying to study the metrics, but they might not be doing it the correct way. Maybe you can give us some advice for people out there. So, how can they find out who their true audience is so they can make videos, to actually bring in more traffic and more people and bring in more followers?
Okay, great question. Great question. So I guess it really comes down to you have to understand how YouTube operates and what they want and what they don't want. And I guess the main question or the main fact everyone needs to understand is that YouTube doesn't owe you anything, right? So they don't owe you views because you posted. And many
Right.
people believe that they do. They'll come to me and they said, I posted 100 videos, or I had someone recently, literally today, 800 videos with no results.
Oh, wow.
And then it's just the whole thing. Well, I was consistent. Everyone says be consistent. It's like, well, that doesn't matter because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. So you can't do something 800 times, not see results, and then expect something miraculous to change.
Yeah.
So really comes down to just having a fundamental understanding or taking the time or energy and effort to just understand like what makes these videos tick and go viral and why aren't yours? And we're really it's just having the foresight to reverse engineer success.
Yeah.
Right. So you don't try and find out on your own. You just look at what's already working. And
Right.
that's one main thing that I teach my students is the idea of just taking the time, going with like a fine-tooth comb and really reverse engineering everything from like the scripts, the thumbnails, the titles, the topics, the videos in essence, like from the beginning to the end, like how the editing is, the music, the voiceover. There's so many micro factors to
Yeah.
everything. And that's kind of the idea. The main reason people don't succeed is because they look at everything way too macro and they don't get into the micro.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, this person did this topic and I did the exact same topic and I didn't get any views. But then when you look at them, they're completely different videos and not in a good way. Right.
Right.
So it's not that I want you to copy everyone, but you need to emulate the winning factors, right?
Right.
The winning metrics, the winning factors of success, which is again just okay, so their intros are again, they're 30 seconds and they start with a question and then they transition like this to the intro from the intro to the body. And if you're not doing the same things, and if you see that, okay, there's 5 or 10 different videos from 5, 10 different channels that are all doing the same thing, and you're not doing that thing, that's why you're not successful. So this again, that's on the creation side. But on the understanding who your ICP, your ideal customer profile, your ideal avatar.
Yeah.
It really just, yeah, that's kind of your own due diligence, which is just understanding your market, your target audience. And that's
Right.
why I always insist that people are creating channels that are based on something that they have a deeper understanding or a passion towards,
Yeah.
because typically then you would understand how those people feel and what triggers them and what they want and what they don't want.
Right.
It makes the whole business a lot easier. And it just gives you a tactical advantage, right? Because
Yes.
now it's you don't have to do that legwork of understanding what would these people even want to watch, right? Because people just they'll if you don't know what they want to watch, you'll inadvertently choose the wrong topics,
Right.
which at that point you're spinning your wheels, right? So really, yeah, the best thing you can do is have a good understanding of what you're posting before you even get into it. Don't pick something random just because it makes a lot of money, because you'll probably not make money if you don't understand how to do it. And then the second thing is, yeah, take the time to do your due diligence. Like, really research your competitors, take off your consumer cap and put on your creator cap, right? And really just like break them down. So we have like all these documents for my students that I make them do, these worksheets where they have to like download, extract the scripts from the top videos, and like literally microanalyze them, answer all these questions, and then build a brand new like SOP, like a standard operating procedure. And from there, they use that to then build as a formula, as a kind of a workbook for their future videos. And that's the kind of level of, yeah, due diligence that's required to make it work, which sounds like a lot of work. To some degree, it kind of is, but these are things you do once. You do the research once, and then that's your formula, and you just copy and paste it. It's like, if you're not willing to do that kind of work once, but you're willing to post 800 videos blindly, everyone just needs to kind of reassess the priorities, right? So yeah, hopefully that answers as well your question.
Now, do you feel that some of the most important aspects are maybe the title and the thumbnail? Does that really bring, because those, a lot of times people don't, don't realize how much importance it is, because just like a book, the title and the book cover is always gonna, sell the book before the content inside the book. Is it the same way with you too?
Yeah, I mean, everything comes back down to the goldfish brain. Everyone has a goldfish brain, right? So we have microseconds to attract somebody. Microseconds. And the video literally is irrelevant, because you won't even have the chance for someone to watch a video if you don't get past the gateway, which is the thumbnail and title. So you're absolutely right. And it applies to everything. You write books and articles and literally everything that has a title and a visual to it.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
That's the important part, the most important part. And there's a lot of psychological plays that go into that packaging, we call it. You need to understand clickbait. You need to understand psychology. You need to understand human emotion, sorry. How can you trigger and evoke some sort of emotion, whether you're pissing them off, or creating curiosity, or like something polarizing, you're confusing them. There has to be a reason that they can stop and be like, and then choose to click the video. Like, you're confusing them, maybe you're making them mad, or maybe they see something interesting to the point where you can physically get them to drag their mouse over and click, because there's a sea of videos, right? And so it all comes down to sales. Like, you have to sell them on your video. And so there is that principle of sales involved in this process. So we also teach that. So sales principles and clickbait. You have to really sell them on the topic before they even get to the video. So the first challenge is the click. Then the next challenge is keeping them on the video. So that's a whole different. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, do you find that there is specific type of titles that capture people more? Is it the suspense, or this I did this for 30 days and this is what happened, or or just given some kind of suspenseful title, or just like an outrageous title and then kind of leaving them in the blue? Are there things that you see that really stir our listeners more than others, or it really depends on the industry and the audience that they're trying to attract?
Yeah, without getting like too deep, because it's a pretty long-winded question, but to give you a very brief summary, anything that is controversial, polarizing, fear-mongering, I mean, that's the news in general. That's why they get traffic and traction, is because the fear-mongering. So we're just naturally more inclined to watch negative content than we are positive content. Something with someone murdering someone is going to get more views than someone doing a good deed, something altruistic. It's always going to do better here. So again, unfortunately, humans are more inclined towards that content. So you can capitalize off it. It does work really well. I have some students doing like crime show channels, and again, they're doing $20,000 a month, or celebrity, anything drama. People love, they need the drama fix. So those channels do really, really well too. But again, you're putting that out there, which again, you can kind of choose if you're okay with that. You are putting more issues out there just by, pushing out that kind of the content. I don't personally agree with it too much because it just doesn't help anybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that kind of content is huge. And then you're right, the cliffhanger content is really, really good when you're able to say, yeah, this happened in this amount of time. So giving an end goal and giving a time frame for it is really interesting because then they have to watch the video to understand what happened in between or the ending. Those are fantastic ideas as well for a good video topic. But I guess the one thing that wins over everything is storytelling. So I truly, truly believe that the next era of YouTube is storytelling. Hence why we're also seeing a lot of people, a lot of influencers pull back from the kind of fast-paced editing and just go into the raw couple snips of editing and just really like I'm in front of the camera like I am now talking to my viewers and it's just me and you guys and no one else. And that really just creates more of a, yeah, intimate moment with the viewers to the point where they feel much more connected. And then again, storytelling. So the people are always, if you tell someone a story, they're always going to be so much more interested than just talking in general. So storytelling is just another human inclination that we have. So yeah, storytelling is probably the number one always in anything. If you can add a story to anything, you'll always capture and captivate more people. So yeah, that's my little tidbit there as well.
I feel like when you tell stories, you kind of make a bond with that person. And the person feels like even though they don't know you, they feel like in a sense they do. And I think sometimes you could do storytelling and the person just resonates with maybe two or three words from that story. And all of a sudden they feel a connection to you and they want to hear more and they want to hear more. And I feel like, storytelling definitely is going to be the new YouTube, in years to come. I think it's really going to be a strong influence on a lot of people.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it just kind of creates that mental connections too. Like if I tell you something, you may or may not remember it, but if I add a story to it, it really just adds a deeper layer in your brain to memorize and be able to regurgitate that at a later time. So yeah, that's it builds bonds and a stronger bond connection. I agree.
I really I like how you go about this. And one of the things when you were talking, you were telling about storytelling and how you were talking about keeping people on and, waiting for the answer. A lot of times I hear people complain that, I put this video out and, after a couple of minutes, they don't listen to the whole video, the retention span, like that's the one thing I hear from a lot of clients is they put videos out and their retention is only for oh so long. Is there any suggestions that you have for the listeners that make videos, how do they keep people on so they don't click off? How do they make them watch either the whole video or is there a specific, way of doing it that really brings a positive outcome?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it is unfortunately very relative to the niche, but I guess there is kind of some across the board advice that I can give. For the most part, a lot of people, the reason why many people will leave too soon is maybe because you already uncovered the end goal, the truth too soon, right? And so you want to give that idea, you want to put it out there of what it could be or an essence of it, but not the whole thing near the beginning. So they actually feel like you're going to deliver on what the title is of the video, the thumbnail. But then again, you want to just find a way creatively to keep them captivated to the end. Another mistake people make as well, and I try and teach this to all my students, don't give away the answer in the thumbnail. A lot of people they'll literally put the answer to the video title, whatever it is, like, oh, did you know this happened? And then they'll give the answer in the thumbnail visually, or they'll say it again in the title, one or the other. And so at that point, you may even get that click, but no one's going to stick around because you literally delivered the goal. You delivered the gold to them right away. And it's always going to crush retention. So it is a bit of an art to understand, okay, this is the end goal. This is the overarching goal we want to deliver. How do we find ways to keep them captivated all the way through and just giving them micro doses throughout the video to keep them captivated? It is definitely a bit of an art. But that's just something that it's that's the, if you just remember that as the essence, okay, this is the rule. Don't give away everything now and just give those doses. You can kind of like work backwards from that, right? Like look at your script and look, okay, this is now the I'm at 70% of the video. You can kind of give it by then, like it doesn't have to be at the 100% mark, because then your video really will fail. They wait way too long for the result. And the things to keep them captivated is, you can do the retention editing. So really just have a good captivating editing and the scenes and the music and all that stuff, it really keeps people engaged. But I guess the biggest thing is going back to exactly what I said, it's the storytelling. If you can keep someone captivated with a good story, they'll stay to the end, right? So it's like you're delivering the end without delivering it, because it's just the whole thing is everything at once. It's just a story, and there's emotion, there's ups and there's downs, and there's that arc and the climax. And then through, because that's the art of storytelling, and through there, they don't even realize that they waited 7 minutes to get the result, but they weren't entertained, they were engaged, right? So anything you do, implement storytelling, your retention will definitely increase. And yeah, that's a big trick. But yeah, the one thing to also take away from that, the first 30 seconds of your video are the most crucial part of your video. There's a new metric in YouTube. I say new, it's a little bit old now, but it's new from the last couple of years. It's the first 30 second graph. And so that graph will determine the fate of your video. And if you have a large drop off in the first 30 seconds, YouTube doesn't like that. Right? Their main goal is to keep people on the platform. And so, yes, your hook is probably 70 to 80% of the fate of the video. So make sure you're having a great video, great story, great everything. But I would put an extra amount of work in the hook and just having a really heavy hitting. Again, how much emotion can you bring? How much curiosity can you bring? And how much incentive for them do they have to keep watching? Just always think that and have that mental checklist when you're creating a video. So yeah,
I like
it's a
that.
few different things to be aware of, but yeah.
Yeah, no, a lot of times, people will drop off early on, and that's a great way, that's a great, answer is to keep them really, engaged. Just like the way you present yourself in the beginning, the way, whatever you do, keep them so intrigued that, yeah, I want to hear this person, or I want to hear
That's
what they
right.
have to say and so forth. Yeah, definitely. Now, tell me
Absolutely.
a little about your services, because you created a great coaching program to help people with their YouTube channels. So, tell me a little about it and like what it entails.
Yeah, of course. So basically, at this point, like I said, we have a largely growing community. We have over 500 students. And the way we've set it up is, there's a lot of people in the space that are teaching the same things, and everyone's trying to do it the best that they can. So I've snooped around. I know exactly what's out there. And I've been also part of a lot of coaching programs myself. Like I spent a lot of money this last year, a lot of money on coaching, just as you should, to always level up yourself in business, spirit, business, mind, life, everything. So as I've gone through all these different programs, I've done it also with the intention, again, to look at things not as a consumer, but a creator, to see how they're creating their coaching programs and to just kind of handpick things that I liked and didn't like. So yeah, I saw what I didn't like. There's a lot of what I didn't like because it didn't work. And I saw all the things that I liked, and I used that to build the coaching program that we have today. So the main thing that kind of I would say that created or brought my coaching program to where it is was the fact that I was very intentional about seeking feedback from my target market. Not about what I wanted to create, it's about what they wanted and needed. So many people create a product because they think it's what the market wants or it's what they want, versus you don't do things on that. You do things based on what the market tells you. So always had these like feedback forms, and it was just all these different questions. And I said, okay, XYZ, but the most important question was, tell me what you hate about this program. And like, be vividly clear. Tell me everything, roast me. And so first I was getting quite a bit of feedback, which is good. I used that feedback and always just built on it, built on it. And I said, okay, I'll fix that, fix that, fix that. And we got to the point where we never get negative feedback. There's always a couple errands in there, just, but it's not feedback that we can actually change. It's just feedback on themselves, right? So that's what kind of led to where we are now. We have a very, very optimized program because, again, I was very intentional from day one to build something that people actually needed and would help them versus something I wanted. And so, yeah, we have a really, really optimized program. We have 9 calls a week. We have multiple coaches that take care of all the students. We have a thriving community. So, like, one of the most active communities I've literally ever been a part of and seen, which is a very difficult thing to build as an active community. And then we have a one-on-one coach. So each student has his own assigned one-on-one coach for 6 months. So the whole thing is again, it's optimized to the point where you have this abundance of support. You have a full course that walks you through it 6 months with a roadmap, daily, literally daily, weekly checklist of everything you need to do. So you're never like twiddling your thumbs, wondering what I do today and tomorrow. Is this the highest priority task I could do? It's literally all laid out. So I made it very simple and I made it very, very seamless. I have students all the way from like 20 years old to 64 is my oldest, all making money. So it really doesn't matter what age range you're in, as long as you follow the steps and the roadmap and you show up to the calls and you ask for support and you seek for help. That's how we see the success. And then we go super deep on these calls too, right? So we don't just have calls where you just ask general questions. We literally review every script, every thumbnail, video, voiceover, topic, everything, titles. So because we have such a deeper level of auditing and how involved that we get, that's why we see the success we have. Because someone coming into a program, they can follow guidance. Okay, in essence, it should look like this, but unless they have it actually verified by someone who's done it a thousand times over, it's really difficult. And that's the essence that I had when I built this thing. I wanted to build something where it's like, imagine you start a business and every single important decision and task you ever need to do is first audited by an expert. And only when it's perfect, it gets approved and it gets sent to the next step, Like how much more confidence and reassurance would you have in the success of that business if that was the dynamic that you had? And that's exactly how I tried to build it. So we really like go through that process of not just doing it. There's nothing done for you. It's all done with you. So everything is done with the intention to teach a lesson. So you can't just give me a script and I'll give it back to you fixed. You're going to have to be there on that call so that we can show you and guide you like why it sucks and how it's going to be better or why it was great and how you can repeat that. And then so when someone does that over and over and over again, they, end up building skill sets and knowledge on a deeper level that they can now take away. Because I want this to be a situation where you dedicate 6 months with us, but by the end of the 6 months, you don't just have a chance making money, but you have the skill set, that you can really confidently do it on your own over and over again. You don't need me anymore. I don't want to have anyone codependent on me, And you really win because you have the money from the channel and you have the skill sets and you literally are in a place where you now have your income either substitute income on the side, or some people have literally, a lot of people have been able to replace their income completely, So it's a big win-win.
That's
Hopefully
awesome.
that gives you a summary.
Oh, definitely. Now, if you had to take today's conversation, you really wanted to emphasize on some important factors, what are some of the things you really like to emphasize to the listeners today?
Yeah, if I really had to summarize them, there's a few things. Going back to the original concept of resilience. I think resilience is the biggest, it's the killer of everyone's success because if people were able to just trust in failure, people see failure as a negative thing. It's not. It is such a beautiful learning lesson, and you have to see it. Everything is perception, right? So it's the way it's perceived is the way that it is. Two people see failure very differently. But I've used all my failures to lead to where I am, and I've learned so much from them. And they've also helped me so much with my ego that I had. I had an ego, and every time you fail, it gets knocked down further and further, right? And it really just helped humble me to the point where I feel, so confident in what I do now and in my abilities because I've been through so many different things and I know that I can navigate, life in such a better way. And if anything would ever happen to me right now, I could just smile back at the situation because I know what to do. I have all this knowledge and skill. And so you have to really see, failure as an incredible learning lesson, a lesson, an opportunity to learn. And so, I guess the one thing if I could take away more than anything really is just to learn to build resilience, to reframe how you see failure. And keep in mind, like failure is only when you give up. There's literally no such thing as failing until you give up. That's when failure actually happens. So because of that, anyone can literally do anything they set their mind to. So if I could just give away one lesson to everyone, whatever it is that you do, don't be afraid to fail,
I
and
love
just
that.
give it 100% because it's you never know what's going to happen next. I could have failed and stopped, but I just kept going. I didn't know it was going to be YouTube, but I didn't know it was going to be marketing. I just kept going, and then something finally worked, and it led to where I am, and I'm very grateful for where I am, and very, very, very humbled by the experience.
I love that. I love that. Now, where can people find you and find out about your coaching program?
Yeah, I mean, if you just search up my full name on Instagram and YouTube, so at Victor Katrina, Katrina with a C, you'll find me. I have my socials there, and then from there we can actually get in contact. We can hop on a call. I do a vetting process. We don't have the capacity to work with everyone just because, again, as you kind of maybe have seen through what I explained, it is a bit of a it's an it's a detailed process, right? So we only want to work with people who are actually committed to that. They're going to do 6 months and give it all their, do it wholeheartedly. So there's a lot of like tire kickers who think they want it but aren't willing to do the work. So we have to get on that call so that we can diligence and do that preliminary. So yeah, but if you want to reach out to me, we'll definitely, I'm more than happy to just chat with everyone, see if it's a fit. And then yeah, if it's something that you want to do and pursue, we definitely have the option to help you guys out.
I love it. I love it. Well, this has been amazing, Victor.
Thank you so much.
I really enjoyed this, and I think it's great because there are so many people out there that want to do what you're teaching, and they just don't know where to begin, or they're caught in the middle and they just don't know how to grow. And something like this could be so beneficial for so many people. And like you said before, it doesn't have to be a full-time job. This could be something that adds on to your business. This could be like a sidekick, where you make some extra money on the side, and this could actually help. I know YouTube has helped many businesses grow to phenomenal extents, so it could be used in many ways. YouTube is an excellent resource, and
Absolutely.
it could help many people. It's helped, large corporations to, startup businesses. So it's a great, a great program that you're offering, and I'm so glad that you came on the show to share it.
Thank
So
you.
thank you so much for coming on the show, and I really enjoyed talking to you, and hopefully, we'll get together again and we can talk a little more about your coaching program and talk a little more about YouTube, because I know there's a lot of people out
Absolutely.
there that want to learn about it.
Beautiful. Yeah, likewise. Thank you so much, Stacey. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, same here. You have a great day.
Likewise.